luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St. Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates part of the disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online.
You're listening to SBS News.
The Morocco-France match comes with history, but why? Was this a match between the colonizers and the colonized? How did Kylian Mbappe deliver this time? This is SBS News World Cup Daily, the 90 Plus podcast, where we bring you the stories from on and beyond the pitch. And I'm your host, Helena Krishnamurthy. So France are through to the World Cup semi-finals with a 2-0 victory over Morocco. For Le Bleu, the dream of back-to-back World Cup titles remain alive. And for Morocco, the tournament ends, but not without another chapter in football history. And perhaps that's what made this match so compelling. More than 65,000 fans filled Boston Stadium for a quarter-final that always promised plenty. France came in as the defending champions, stacked with world-class talent and chasing another World Cup title. Morocco, meanwhile, had already captured hearts around the world. After beating co-hosts Canada to reach the last eight, they became the final African nation left in the tournament, continuing a journey that's been years in the making. But their breakthrough actually began back in Qatar in 2022. It was when Morocco became the first African and Arab-speaking nation to reach a World Cup semi-final before eventually finishing fourth. France's recent World Cup memories are just as significant. Les Bleus were runners-up in 2022 after one of the greatest finals in history against Argentina, and they've arrived at this tournament determined to win. So French coach Didier Deschamps made just one change to his side, bringing Désiré Doué into the attack while Morocco were without injured midfielder Ismaël Saibari. From the opening whistle, France controlled much of the play, but couldn't find a breakthrough. Then came the biggest moment of the first half. After a lengthy VAR review, France were awarded a penalty. Kylian Mbappe stepped up and, for one of the few times in his international career, he couldn't deliver.
It is denied. It was limp. And it was very reachable for Yassine Bono, who just had to guess right and drop his hat on it.
Well, I don't know if the delay has affected Kylian Mbappe, but that was probably one of the poorest penalties he's taken.
And to unpack today's match, I spoke to Australia's longest-serving Matilda, who's competed in two Olympic Games and five World Cups, Lydia Williams. Now, Lydia, who's also an analyst at SBS for the World Cup, has played in the 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup in Canada and won two grand finals with Melbourne City between 2017 and 2020.
I think it was a difficult match in the first place for Morocco. They lost their striker that they found in Saibari and felt they, I think, only registered one shot on target throughout the whole game. It was hot. I think France wanted to dominate and try to get an early goal in the books to kind of, you know, the game was probably going to be pretty dead after that if they scored. Mbappe got the foul in transition and stepped up to the penalty after about 3 minutes, I think they checked VAR for, so he was kind of standing around for that long.
Saved by Yassine Bono, this marks only the second penalty Mbappe has missed in normal time for France.
To be fair, I don't think it was a great penalty at all. Easy save for Bono to make. And then Doué had another chance in the first half to capitalise on a goal, but they went into the break 0-0.
Now, Lydia says even with VAR, the decisions are still made by the referees. And the controversies we've seen at this World Cup around penalties will always be a grey area. She talks about Mbappe's penalty today, saying it's hard to know what's a clear-cut foul. But then Morocco sensed an opportunity. Captain Achraf Hakimi almost made France pay before halftime, but dragged his effort wide. The deadlock didn't last much longer.
World Cup goals for Kylian Mbappe.
Eventually, Mbappe found his moment. His goal marks his 20th at a World Cup and his 8th of the tournament, drawing him level with Lionel Messi in the race for the Golden Boot. Now, Morocco continued to fight, but France's quality eventually spoke for itself.
Ousmane Dembélé has hit the bottom corner. And France are heading for the final four. A goal of precision and certainty.
Ousmane Dembélé added a second to put the result beyond doubt.
But I don't think France were worried at all. I think it was just a matter of time until they did score. And then, yeah, into the second half, and they kind of came out like a house on fire. Morocco had a little bit more possession but didn't do anything with it. And then Mbappe scored this absolute ridiculous goal, and then Dembélé capitalized.
Goalkeepers probably have the upper hand in that.
I think you do a lot of analytics and, I guess, practice beforehand as a goalkeeper. There's a lot of videos that you can kind of refer to and get a good idea of what players like to do in certain moments of the match. If it's a penalty shootout versus a game, if it's a game that they're up against and with a higher scoreline, if it's one that they're drawing as a one they're losing, they kind of have their go-to penalty that they'll refer to. So I think you kind of have all that knowledge, and you have the benefit of, you know, seeing your either goalkeeper coach or someone on the sideline that can help direct you if you forget. So really, most of the advantage in the way is with the goalkeeper psychologically. And the longer it goes, especially for the example, the penalty today, 3 minutes, I think that pressure starts to weigh more on the strikers.
Today, both French and Moroccan fans gathered at the Bondi Road Hotel in Sydney to watch their teams play. This France supporter told SBS he's hoping for the team to further progress to the finals.
I'm feeling very well. Honestly, it was an amazing...
And before the match, my colleague Christopher Tan also spoke to this Australian cafe owner, Sana Jabli, who organised the watch party at her North African cafe in Sydney, Surrey Hills. She was born and raised in France with Algerian and Moroccan background. Sana says she was going to support Morocco.
I can see that, like, for my generation, for example, we are born in France but probably just don't feel French enough. You feel French enough when you are a great soccer player and represent the country in, you know, internationally or all of these things. But in modern society, I feel like the immigration of like North African people created this issue where you don't feel French enough, but you also don't feel Algerian or Moroccan enough. So you're in sort of like in, you know, in between, in the middle of different cultures, and it's a very hard... it's very hard for us to find our real and true identity.
Long before kickoff, it meant more than football. France ruled Morocco as a protectorate from 1912 until the country gained independence in 1956. And since then, generations of Moroccan families have settled in France, creating deep cultural and family ties between the two nations. Lydia Williams again.
I think, well, a lot of Moroccans are French-born. Play in France, have, you know, dual heritage of French and Moroccan. So automatically they're quite technical, skillful, disciplined players. But I think the way that Morocco came out in both this World Cup and last World Cup is that they're really tactically disciplined, hard to really break down, and can frustrate teams and then catch them on the counter-attack or well-worked.
Those connections have long been reflected in football, with players, supporters and families often sharing links to both countries.
But what they do have is a lot of stability and kind of the defensive shape. And, I mean, the star of the show really is Hakimi. And this game he was kept quiet, but a lot of the other games it's him on transition and joining in to kind of overload lines of their midfield and front. So I think, yeah, Morocco are a really fantastic African nation. And the way that they played, I think, is a really good, I guess, blueprint for African teams to kind of come out with that a bit more tactic discipline, but then obviously have the X factor in their attacking lineup.
Now, earlier on, a Paraguayan, Senator Celeste Amarilla, had earlier criticized French star Kylian Mbappe's heritage and nationality. And it was after France beat Paraguay 1-0 in the FIFA World Cup's round of 16, where Mbappe scored the only goal of the match. But the striker hit back, calling her a despicable woman. Now, the fallout from those comments has continued to grow. French President Emmanuel Macron's office says Paraguayan President Santiago Peña has written to him, expressing his support and condemning the remarks. France's football governing body, the French Football Federation, has also weighed in, describing the comments as criminal and reprehensible, a sign of just how seriously the issue is being taken beyond the world of football. The senator has now retracted and apologised, but has also asked for Mbappe to apologise. Now, moving on to the matches this weekend, this is what Lydia predicts.
Belgium needs to find the fire that they had against the US, but I think Spain will be too strong for them. And then, obviously, there's Argentina and Switzerland. That's going to be an interesting game. I think Argentina have probably gone to matches now going into extra time, which they wouldn't have wished they have. So if Switzerland can hold out, the longer it goes, it's going to be harder for them to score.
Speaking after the match, France's coach commended Kylian Mbappe's outstanding performance. Didier Deschamps says his side would recover and wait to see the outcome of the match between Spain and Belgium tomorrow. Lydia Williams says the England and Norway match is another game to keep an eye out for.
But obviously, I think the match of the quarterfinals is the England-Norway of two really great strikers kind of going head-to-head. So that's going to be a really interesting game. Norway kind of have, again, ridden with the knocks and bumps throughout the tournament and keep getting results.
So while only one team could progress, this quarterfinal was about far more than a place in the semifinals, because every World Cup produces unforgettable goals and unforgettable champions. But it's really the stories behind the teams, the history, the people and the connections they carry that often leave the biggest impression. I'll be back with you tomorrow for the latest on the Spain against Belgium game. To catch up on the latest, you can head on to SBS On Demand and stay tuned for the latest at the World Cup Daily, the 90 Plus podcast. To get the latest World Cup news, check out SBS News headlines wherever you get your podcasts.
Luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First class sleep. Available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online.